don't know if you have the habit of using night lights. I'm not sure how recent invention a night light is, the light in our manger scene. A small bulb, probably it's off a Christmas tree, but it might be similar in wattage or power to a night light in your home. A night light doesn't have the purpose of lighting up the room, does it? You don't read by it, it doesn't show much. It's a pretty weak, low wattage bulb. It's intended to dispel our natural fear of darkness. It's to help children get to sleep. Instead of saying, "Daddy, it's too dark. Mommy, can you please leave the hall light on?" Light. In Him, the Word, the eternal God, was life. And that life that He brings is the light of all mankind. John, who writes these words, is a fisherman. He knew what it was to work in low light conditions. I don't know how many fishermen or women are here. I think we Minnesotans tend to fish during daylight hours. But if you remember the miraculous catches, there's more than one in the gospel accounts. Throw out your net on the other side. The disciples said what? "Lord, we have fished all night and caught nothing." Perhaps there were moonlit nights, illuminated, but maybe cloudy nights, with no light at all. Light is a pretty central theme in the Advent story in the Gospels, isn't it? Luke 2, the shepherds, the angel appeared and says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. The Magi in Matthew 2 saw a star, followed it first to Jerusalem, and then it came to rest in Bethlehem. How can you read the scriptures at all and escape the central theme of light? It refers to God, to the Word, not just the Word, the Logos, but this Word, to salvation. It contrasts our dark, sinful condition, but a few of the many synonyms of light in the scriptures. What scriptures do you think of? What Bible verses come to mind? Perhaps these, John 8:12. "I am the light of the world," one of the seven I am's by which Jesus describes himself. "Light has come into the world." This is John 3:19, just after the well-known John 3:16. "Light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." Light shows and reveals. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Psalm 19 that Christians know well, different phrases about how the Word of God ministers to us. Verse 8 says, "The commands of the Lord are radiant and give light to the eyes." The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment, Psalm 104, the song that was made into a chorus that we sing here at church. He wraps himself in light. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The image of walking in the woods on a dark, moonless night, and God's word shines light on my path. Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. "You are the light of the world. No one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel." Children sing this song. They're taught early on. "Hide it under a bushel." And they shout, "No, I'm going to let it shine." They put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the room. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, "God has made His light shine in our hearts." Ephesians 5:8, He commands the church, "Live as children of the light. Let your life show that you're not in darkness." Peter the Apostle said in 1 Peter 2:9, "He has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light." John, this author, says in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, "God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, in the revelation of His Son, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ His Son purifies us from all of our sin. And of course, the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 9. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that was quoted by Matthew in chapter 4 of his gospel, that Jesus, when He began His public ministry and began to preach, was fulfilling this prophecy that the people were seeing a great light. I could quote many, many others, but I'm going to close these quotations with Luke 2, verse 32. Simeon, the older man waiting for God in Jerusalem, and had been promised by the Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, revealed. And one day was prompted and told to go to the temple, and he held the baby, eight-day-old Messiah, coming for his dedication as the law required. And he said, "Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And so John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you read scientific journals, you might be aware that a recent concern of scientists is something called light pollution. Pollution we refer to as noise pollution, air pollution, garbage, plastic, and so forth. Light pollution means there's too much light. Light doesn't turn off at night, and from space, astronauts report that you can see cities from thousands of miles away. Doctors say we have disturbed sleep patterns because it's not dark enough in our rooms. And yet, with all the light available, many live in darkness today, don't they? Different forms and different seasons. As winter prevails here in the Northland, there's an acronym recently called SAD, S-A-D, Seasonal Affective Disorder. It's not sad that there's snow or cold temperatures. It's that there's decreasing amounts of light during the day, and people are affected emotionally by that. My sister and brother-in-law lived for a number of years in near Anchorage, Alaska, and you know that light patterns are quite irregular near the Arctic Circle. Times of the year where the sun seems to be up all the time. We were there at Christmas a few years ago, and the sun came up, I don't mean up like this, but up like this, at 10 a.m. and went down at 3 o'clock. And my brother-in-law said, "Here's the three main vocations in Alaska: oil drillers, military, and psychiatrists." Because people cannot deal with the fact that the sun doesn't go down, they don't know when it's time to sleep, or that the sun doesn't come up, and they don't know when to get out of bed. When light exists, darkness is also present, but it does not prevail. So besides actual light of the sun, we deal with the darkness of doubt, of unknowing, of uncertainty, of fear, of apprehension, of bitterness, of sin of all stripes and types in our lives. All of these, the Scriptures announce, are dealt with if we choose to believe. You might think, you know, Pastor, it's easy to say that, but you don't know the story of my life. Perhaps I do not. Women, if you were here yesterday to hear Paula Gonzalez's testimony, just what a powerful, and I haven't heard it all, I've heard snippets of it. It'd just be pretty hard to hear that and say, you know, there's darkness in my life that I just don't think the gospel is going to reach. Christmas lights are not spotlights, are they? They're not glaring lights. I would say they're not police car lights. Wow. Talk about a thing that irritates Tim. When I come up behind a police car at night that has pulled someone over, I kind of drive by like this. I don't know what they've done in recent years or why, but you can hardly look at the flashing lights on top of a law enforcement vehicle, can you? It's like looking into the sun and you have to put on sunglasses. Christmas lights are candles. Small lights. But yet they can be seen from a great distance. The Advent wreath just symbolizes this so well to me. We start not with a spotlight or a 100-watt bulb, just a candle. And each week of Advent, we add another candle. Just five at the end. It doesn't seem that overpowering, the light, does it? And it's representing that the coming is being announced. It's a crescendo, but a very modest one, isn't it? You hear me talk from time to time about the Scripture as an overall revelation, or people today say, a view from 30,000 feet. We don't read this book as a book often, do we? I finished a novel last week, and I didn't read it in a day because I have other things that fill my day, but at night when I'm home, I read. And in a few days, I finish a novel. We don't read through the Scriptures that way. I open my Bible and have devotions. I read a verse, a passage, maybe a chapter. But if you think of this book in its entirety, think about the start and the finish. It's the exact same theme. Light. Genesis 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. The first thing in the Scripture that's called good is light. And God saw that it was good. God didn't need light to see, but we do. The reason that we know that it was God the Son, there's God in multiple persons revealed in the creation account, it says, and they saw, and He created man in our image, and God is spoken of, the one God, in a plural sense. But since the Holy Spirit is revealed later, and the Son later in Scripture, we read creation and think, it's God the Father who created. But John the Apostle, the close friend of Jesus, says, no, it's the Son. Now, how did John know that? It's not revealed in any of the prophets, or the Pentateuch, or the Psalms that he would know as Scripture. So here's your weekly dose of Bubna Bible conjecture. You don't think Jesus told them? So here's how I picture it. Jesus is out walking with the 12 one day, and they see a salamander. That's not very visible. It's able to, a chameleon that changes colors. And they say, how is it that something changes colors? Lizards don't change colors. Snakes don't. Bears don't. Birds don't. The sand doesn't. And Jesus describes to them how he installed certain biological things and amino acids into a chameleon so that when it's on a thing of a certain color, it becomes that color. What's that, Lord? You created stuff? Wasn't that God the Father? No. No, I did that. The Genesis account says there was darkness. The darkness covered the face of the deep. So light is created as a solution. And John carries that idea over. The light shines in the darkness, in our dark hearts. Let there be light, and there was light. That's the beginning of the scriptural account. Read these verses from the end, from Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Speaking of the New Jerusalem, the city, Revelation 21, verse 23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And Revelation 22, verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And notice the first three words, in the beginning. The first three words of what verse? Not just John 1:1, but of Genesis 1:1. This is how the Bible begins. In the beginning. But go through the Pentateuch, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, go through Joshua and Judges, all the Kings, the Chronicles, the Psalms, start with the prophets, all the way to the end of the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. No other book begins with these words, in the beginning. Just a coincidence that John, who would have known the Genesis revelation, says, isn't that the way to begin this Advent story? In the beginning, he was there. You know that response application, I normally ask you to do it in written form. And I'm really trusting you'll do that this week. Write out your testimony and include, rather than words like belief, church, religion, Christianity, rules. Not Christianity rules, Christianity, comma, rules. Use these words, darkness and light. Here is how the light of the gospel came into my life. And there's not much room here, but I'm asking you on the back, would you write out prayerfully a plan for this Advent season? Christmas 2019. Asking the Lord to use your life to spread the light and dispel darkness. How is it I'm planning to live? Who am I planning to speak to? Who in my circle of influence I know lives in spiritual darkness and needs to have this testimony of the light of the gospel? If you're thinking, is my life really adequate to be a spotlight? Just think about a candle, a nightlight. How much light does a person really need to understand the light of the gospel? Maybe the one you're praying for just needs one person to speak a word and to say, it's Jesus, that's the light that is in my life. Pray with me as we close this morning.